You have your Bible this morning. I'm going to ask you to join me again in our study through the Gospel of Luke, where we're in Luke chapter 6 this morning. Luke chapter 6. I want to begin reading in verse 6 down to verse 11. Luke chapter 6, verse 6 says, "On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. There was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath so that they might find reason to accuse him. But he knew what they were thinking. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Get up, come forward.' And he got up and came forward. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them all, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they themselves were filled with rage and discussed together what they might do to Jesus." Beloved, I hope as you can see from what we just read, in light of what we talked about last Sunday in the first five verses of Luke chapter 6, that Luke here is continuing this theme of Sabbath controversies, whereby Jesus is demonstrating that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. If you notice there, he says, "On another Sabbath." This is a different Sabbath than one that we saw in verses 1 through 5 when Jesus and his disciples were walking through the grain fields. Another Sabbath, probably maybe the next Sabbath after that, Jesus finds himself now in the synagogue where he often would be, especially on the Sabbath, and he was there teaching the people of God. And what we need to see and what we need to understand as we're looking at the Pharisees and the scribes is that their real rejection of Jesus was because he rejected their version of salvation, their version of Judaism. You see, their version was filled with rules, filled with traditions, filled with regulations that they had developed over about 400 years, from around 450 BC to 30 BC. And then when Jesus comes on the scene, he is not accepting what they're teaching. Instead, he's exposing it, and rightfully so. Because, beloved, all their system was doing was burdening down people. It was never really leading them to true spiritual rest. It was never leading them to salvation. So here in our text this morning, I hope what you notice is they came looking for something on Jesus. And Jesus obliged them. That is, he intentionally initiates the situation with them. He didn't sidestep it. He didn't try to avoid them. But instead, he took them on, head on this occasion. And as he does, there are three aspects to his encounter with them that I want us to explore together. Because I think we, even as believers this morning, have to watch our own hearts to make sure, again, we don't drift into some Phariseeism that we see with the Pharisees and the scribes. He's going to explore with them, first off, their reason for even being there at the synagogue. Their reason for being there at the synagogue. Now, let's just think about that. First off, why should they have been there? Hopefully, it would have been to worship God. To worship together with God's people. That is, in the prayers and the praises that would have been offered during that synagogue service. And then obviously then the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And we know who the primary teacher would have been that day. It was Jesus. We see there in verse 6, he's there on the Sabbath. He entered the synagogue and he was teaching. And we know how Jesus would teach. We got a taste of that back in Luke chapter 4. When he went back to his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. We know that what Jesus would do, when he would pick a text, and in the reading of that text, he would read it with the right inflection. He would read it with the right interpretation, the right illustrations, the right implications. But the question is, were they there to listen to what he had to say? Were they there to listen to anything that he was teaching? And the answer is no. Because you notice it says there, go back to our text in verse 6, Jesus was there teaching, but what are they doing in verse 7? Instead of there listening carefully to every word that he was saying, because we know that Jesus spoke with authority like no one else. We know he could give the illumination of those scriptures like no one else. We know he could teach truth like no one else. And yet, what we see in verse 7, the scribes and the Pharisees were there to watch him. And to watch him closely. They're there watching him. And that idea of watching is with an eye of suspicion. Sadly, when you stop and think about it, they're wanting him to violate the Sabbath. Why? Because look again in verse 7. They wanted to accuse him. They're trying to find something that Jesus will do on this day. And even properly, in some ways, they're wanting to hear him say something. They want Jesus to do something that will give them grounds to make an accusation, that is, to make a charge. And what ultimately they're after is they want Jesus put to death. If you recall what we talked about, that even from back in chapter 5, whenever after Jesus healed the man who was there covered with leprosy, and remember what Jesus told him to do, go show yourself. With the man doing that, that would have triggered an investigation into Jesus. And at first, whenever they show up, as we saw there in chapter 5, they don't say anything. They're just there in the phase of this investigation, and they're just there to observe. And as they're observing what Jesus is saying, Jesus initiates the conversation with them. But now after that, as the investigation continues, they're now in the phase where now they are wanting to interrogate Jesus, interrogate his disciples. But you notice, they've already made their mind up. This is no fair and objective investigation that they're making. They are hostile towards Jesus. They're there to accuse him. They're not there to listen. In fact, this very same incident that we're looking at here in these verses in Luke 6 is also in Matthew's gospel in Matthew chapter 12, and it's in Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 3. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 10 there, it implies, and listen to this, that these men noticed, they're aware that this man is there with the withered hand. And they ask him a question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? You see, they're putting this man and this question out as bait for Jesus. And they're now sitting there waiting, watching to see, will he take the bait? Will he go with it? When they ask the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But see, the problem these guys were having, that this wasn't going to be a fair fight with Jesus. Because as we again have discovered in our time in the Gospel of Luke, alone, Jesus is God in the flesh. And not only that, we know he's even operating under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. So though they come and just ask what seems like an innocent question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? What are we told in verse 8? He knew what they were thinking. He knows why they're asking this. He knows, though they never tell him, we're here to find out what you're doing, and we're actually here hoping you will heal somebody on the Sabbath in a way that we can then accuse you before the Sanhedrin council and have you put to death. Jesus knows every motive that they have. He knows every thought that they have as they're sitting there. So he knows why they ask this question. Beloved, here's what I want us to think about for just a moment ourselves. That when we gather here on this Sunday, not in a synagogue, but at our church building that we have, not on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, but here on Sunday, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, why have you come? Hopefully you've come to worship. Hopefully you've come with a heart that's wanting to be taught the Word of God. Hopefully you never come with a heart that is motivated as their hearts were motivated. Because if so, you will miss out on what God's Word is trying to teach, just as these men that did that day. Whatever it was Jesus taught that day, it went in one ear and out the other for them. Because that's not why they were there. And we have to be very careful in our own hearts and in our own lives that we're not as guilty of that at times as well. Just let that sink in. That Jesus knows why we're here. He knows what we're after. He knows why we come. As He knew about them as well. But notice also, not just the reason why they're there, but I want you to notice also he's going to expose and explore their reasoning, how they're reasoning through the Scriptures. In particular, how they're reasoning through what the Scriptures would really be teaching in regards to the Sabbath. And he's about to expose their inconsistencies. He's about to expose really their own sinful hearts. He's about to expose them for violating the Sabbath themselves. Because notice, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, and they've asked this question, their question was, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And here's why I say Jesus intentionally initiates this, because it says in verse 8, when you look back, He knows what they're thinking, He knows why they've asked the question, and He now asks that man to come forward. This man that's sitting there amongst all the crowd, there would be hundreds of people there on that day. A synagogue of that size would hold several hundred people. They're all gathered in. I have no doubt this is a packed house, because wherever Jesus was teaching, the place would be filled. And here is a man that is sitting there who has the withered right hand, and Jesus, knowing what they're thinking, is about to expose them, tells this man, get up and come forward. When he says there to come forward, he literally is saying, come and stand right here in the middle of this synagogue. I want everybody to see you. I want everybody to see what's fixing to happen. And the man, he says in verse 8, he got up and he did exactly as Jesus did. He came and stood in the midst of them. He's there. He's in front and center for all to see. Now, beloved, let's stop and think about that for a moment. Typically, when someone has a disability, it would not be something that they would want to have drawn attention to everybody in the place, especially if you're there in front of hundreds of people there in the synagogue. But we know Jesus was not doing this in any way to embarrass this man. And I don't even think that the man thought that either, because he got up immediately and came forward. Because I think he's in his heart, he's hoping Jesus is going to heal his hand. He's willing to step up. He's willing to step out. No, Jesus is not going to embarrass him. Jesus is not going to harm this man in any way. But he is about to expose these Pharisees and the scribes for the way that they're reasoning through this situation, the way they're reasoning through the Scriptures, the way they're reasoning through and applying the Sabbath. He wants to expose that about them. And the first way he exposes their wrong reasoning about the Sabbath is in his question, the first part of his question. Notice how Jesus says to them, he's not talking to that man. That man is now standing there in front of everybody, but now he turns his attention to the Pharisees and the scribes. And I have no doubt, because of the way these guys are, they're sitting in the front rows. They want the prominent seats. They got the best seat in the synagogue. They're there for everybody to see them as well. And Jesus then turns to them and he starts talking to them. And he says, I ask you. And notice how he phrases the question. Not is it lawful to heal? He says, is it lawful to do good? Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? You see, by asking it that way, here's what Jesus is putting them on the spot. He's saying, does God just want us only to do good 6 days of the week and not seven? That is, God doesn't want us to help anybody else, show any love to anybody else, care for anybody else, concern for anybody else on the Sabbath day? Just we only do that on 6 days of the week, Sunday through Friday, but our Saturdays, our seventh day, we don't have to show any kind of love. We can't help anybody. We can't have concern and care for anybody. When you think about it that way, he's exposing the way they're reasoning through this, saying it's not right. And not only that, I think he's even making the point, which is a scriptural point, that if you can do good for someone and you don't, that's actually in some form of harming them. Look for just a moment. Think about what he says there. And go back in the Old Testament. Go back to the book of Proverbs for just a moment. And go to Proverbs chapter 3. This is a passage I'll probably come back to when we get over to Luke 13. But in Proverbs chapter 3, think about the situation that's faced here in the Sabbath on that day in the synagogue. And notice what it says in the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27. It says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to do it. Saying if you have the power in yourself, you have the means to do good for somebody, he says, don't withhold that. You have a responsibility to actually do good to them. In verse 28, don't then say to your neighbor, just go and come back and tomorrow I'll give it to you. Like, I have the power and the means to do it today. I could help you right here, right now. But just go on and go away from me and come back tomorrow and I'll help you. You see, what was it Jesus is doing here? Does he have the power to do good for this man on this day? He does. What were the Pharisees and scribes wanting Jesus really to do? Tell that man to go away. Tell him to go back home and you come back tomorrow and I'll help you. But not today. I'm not going to help you today. I'm not going to do any good for you today. And just so we know, I can tell you with confidence that's what these guys were thinking. Because now if you go back for a minute, go over to Luke chapter 13 for just a minute. We're going to get here. This is another Sabbath controversy with healing. In verse 10 of Luke 13, Jesus here is teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Comes across as a woman there who for 18 years has had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she's been bent over double. She can't straighten up at all. She's in agony and pain. Has been so now for 18 years. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your sickness. And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made erect and again began glorifying God. But the synagogue official, indignant. Why? Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Here's what he began saying to the crowd in response. There are 6 days in which work should be done, so come during them and get healed and not on the Sabbath. You know what he was saying? He was saying, Jesus, what you should have told that woman is, I know you have it within your power to meet her need and to do her good, but you should have told her, go home and suffer one more night. Go one more day in the pain and agony that you've been struggling with and come back tomorrow and I'll help you. Jesus is saying, no, you're missing the whole point. You're missing the point. That's why he goes on to expose theirs. We'll look at when we get there, the hypocrisy of these guys. That they were willing to help out an animal, but they weren't willing to help out this person. No, beloved. The reason, their reasoning in regards to the implications of the Sabbath was wrong. And Jesus here is asking this question of them in this synagogue on that day to expose that. And again, beloved, I want us to bring this back into our own heart and lives. I think we need to explore our own hearts at times, because I think sometimes we can even get so fixated on rules that we forget about people. That all we want to make sure about is the law. And somehow love goes against that. It doesn't go against it. Because I thought about this in my own heart and life. I've seen it in my life at times where I can be guilty of that. Almost, I guess, probably the most glaring area I can see it in my life at times is as a parent, where I'm almost so concerned, are you following the law? Are you following the rule? And I almost forget about them and what's going on. And I'm not talking here about being soft or being compromising on truth or compromising on standards in your life or your home or your family or your church or your community or wherever it may be. I mean, lying is not loving. But I do think we need to think about what these guys, what they had done. In their pursuit of trying to keep the law, they had set up these rules and regulations in such a way that it almost made it impossible to show any kind of love to people. They were missing the point. You think about these Pharisees and the scribes. They've shown no concern. Think about it. When you go back to our text, they have no concern for this man. As I said, more than likely, they're using him as a bait. They don't really care about him. And not only that, when you think back to their response to the tax collectors and the sinners that Jesus and his disciples were having meals with and spending time with, they were there, why? To call them to repentance. Did they care about those folks? No. They had no concern, no care for them. It's interesting when you go back to this guy, talked about his withered hand. The idea of being withered there, just seeing, showing that this is something that maybe happened over by an accident, or just something happened in his life. That more than likely he wasn't born this way, but it just has atrophied over time for whatever reason. And in tradition, again, this is not in scripture, but in tradition has been handed down that this man actually was a stonemason. He worked with his hands, and more than likely he even got hurt while he was working. So you can imagine, if that would be the case, this man is hoping he can stop being a beggar and Jesus would heal his hand. And if so, the Pharisees and the scribes don't care. They really don't care for the heart of this man. They don't care about using this man in a way to advance their agenda, even if it means kind of harming this guy in any kind of way. They're willing to embarrass him just to embarrass him to make their point. That's not Jesus. But notice also, when we go back to our text in Luke 6, I want you to see the second part of the question. First, Jesus says, is it lawful to do good or to do harm? But the second part is really a piercing question to them. Not necessarily to everybody else in that room, in that synagogue, but to the Pharisees and the scribes that are there. This is going to be a piercing question that's going to put them on the spot. When he says, is it lawful on the Sabbath to save a life? Which they would have all agreed with. You see, understand, and their rules and regulations that they had come up with, that if somebody's life was in jeopardy on that day on the Sabbath, they would have said it was okay to save their life. So if, for example, today, if somebody was having a massive heart attack here, they would say, jump in and try to save their life. And they would say, that's okay. So they would have agreed with that. But here's what Jesus, I think, is trying to get at them. He says, on the Sabbath, is it lawful to save a life? Yes. But is it lawful to destroy a life? And the reason why that is such a piercing question is because that's why they're there. They're wanting to destroy him. They're after him. Again, they're not there with clean motives. They haven't walked into that synagogue saying, we're here to hear the teaching of the Word of God. They're there with an agenda, and our agenda is we want to destroy Jesus. And we're here on the Sabbath trying to do that. We're working our plan to destroy him. That's why we're here on the Sabbath. I mean, at the very least, they're either saying, we want to destroy his reputation and his credibility, and at the very most, we want this man killed. We want this man put to death. Now, here's the question. When Jesus asked them that, is it lawful to destroy a life? He's hitting them right between the eyes. He's exposing them. He's exposing their intent. He's exposing what they're after, what they're doing. He's telling these guys, by asking that question, you are violating the Sabbath. You're violating the Sabbath. You can come in here and have all the externals you want, but in your heart, you're violating the Sabbath. You know, when I stopped and thought about this, really, inwardly, they're just like the synagogue crowd at Nazareth. Remember that back in Luke chapter 4? When Jesus comes to his hometown and he reads the text and he explains the text and he gives the implications of the text to them. How did they respond to that? They responded to that with what? Rage. So much rage, they didn't just have the intent to kill him in their hearts. They tried to kill him physically. They tried to take him off and put him on a cliff and push him off. And except for the supernatural power of God, he would have been killed on that day. These guys want to do the same thing. In their hearts, that's what they're after. That's what they're pursuing. Again, I think back to Proverbs 3. It says, don't devise harm against your neighbor. Don't contend with a man without cause if he's done you no harm. Jesus has done no harm. I'm also reminded of what Peter said over in Acts chapter 10. Remember when Peter was called to the house of Cornelius? And he starts talking about Jesus. And here's what he said about Jesus. In Acts 10, verse 38, it says, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit, anointed him with power. And talking about Jesus, says, and he went about doing good. That's what Jesus did. He's just going about doing good. This is what he's doing here on the Sabbath for this man. He's here to do good. And obviously the greatest good he was doing there was teaching the Word of God, teaching the truth. Beloved, I think each of us also just need to make sure in our own hearts that we don't become like the Pharisees at times, looking to harm others, harm their reputation, harm their roles, whatever it may be. You just want to bring them down in some way. Just understand, when you start looking, watching, searching, scratching, digging, you're starting to act like the Pharisees. You're starting to act like the scribes. These guys need to be watchful, just as we need to be watchful in our own hearts for hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in our own hearts. Finally, notice something here. In Luke 6, Jesus asked the question. But now I think we need to look at their reaction. Look at their reaction to this. First off, look at the reaction that they have to the question. It says in verse 10, after looking around at them all, their reaction is one of silence. He's giving them an opportunity to respond. And when you read what it says in Matthew and Mark about this occasion, what it tells you is, again, these guys are all sitting up front. I believe they're all sitting up front. And now Jesus asks a question and he starts looking at every single one of them individually. I asked you a question. Is it lawful to do good or harm? Is it lawful to save a life or to destroy a life? And he's looking at every single one of them. And not a one of them has a word to say. But their body and their silence, their expressions, is saying it all to Jesus. It is saying that they have hardened hearts. That's their reaction. And I know that because of what, again, we're told over in the Gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, it says there, after looking around at them with anger, Jesus is angered by looking at these men. A righteous anger. It says he's grieved. And you know what he's grieving at? He's grieving at, it says, their hardness of heart. We just read it this morning from the Psalms in Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, what? Don't harden your hearts. These guys just heard the voice of God through Jesus Christ. And guess what? Their heart is just hardening towards him, hardening towards the truth. They will not yield. They will not submit. He's exposed them. He's shown them. They know deep in their heart what he's saying is true. They know it's nothing wrong with him doing good on the Sabbath. They know it's wrong for them to be sitting there with a desire in their heart to destroy him on any day of the week, but especially here on the Sabbath. They're gathering in a synagogue service with a desire to destroy a man. And their heart has been exposed by his question, and they are just pushing back in their hearts. And that's what angers Jesus. There's this initial righteous anger as he looks at each one of them. He is angered in his heart about what they're doing. But notice it goes into grief. He's grieving for these men because he knows they're hardening their heart towards God. And when you harden your heart towards God, you're heading for destruction. It reminds me of, I walk through the Old Testament. What did we see with Pharaoh? Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle that God kept doing through Moses, through the plagues. Pharaoh's heart kept getting harder and harder and harder and harder. And what you're seeing here with these men is their heart is getting harder and harder towards Jesus. I envision these men sitting there in the front with these blank faces towards him. Cold faces with their arms crossed. Because what he just said and asked them didn't soften their heart. They didn't give it one more second of thought. They weren't willing to reconsider what they were doing. They just wanted him eliminated. They wanted him taken off the scene. But notice also, go back. After this happens, when Jesus sees the hardening of their heart, is when now he actually heals the man. He says to the man, and notice now, notice very carefully how Jesus does this. And this is what's going to infuriate them, anger them. After looking at each one of them, he just says to the man, Stretch out your hand. The man, remember, he's standing right there in the middle of everybody. Everybody can see him. Everybody can see his withered hand. And he just says, stretch out your hand. And as he stretches out his hand, it gets restored. It goes from withered to a normal hand, just like that. And here's what's so important. Did Jesus lay a hand on this man? No. Did he do anything like that? No. He just said, stretch out your hand. There's no violation of the Sabbath. You can't talk. You can't speak. He just said, stretch out your hand. The man stretched out his hand, and his hand was immediately restored, healed at that moment. And notice their response in verse 11. They're filled with rage. The word there is used for rage. Basically, you could just say they lost their minds. They were so upset, so angered, so humiliated by what he just did, because he just healed this man and never laid a finger on him. And they are so incensed by this. When it says that rage, it means that they can't even think straight. That's how mad they are. That's how furious they are. They're just about to explode while they're sitting there. They can't wait to get out of that service. They can't wait to get out. I mean, at that moment, they're like, just had the benediction and let us get out. We don't want to see another thing. We don't want to hear another word from him. We are finished here. We're through with him. We are enraged at what he has done. He's humiliated us in front of all these people. That was their initial reaction. But then their immediate reaction once they got outside, verse 11, is they began to discuss together what they might do to Jesus. Now they're beginning to conspire together. And it starts off just between the Pharisees and the scribes. And they're trying to calm themselves down. They're so infuriated. And they begin to sit and they begin to stand there and to talk together. And they're saying, what must we do to this man? What can we do? We came here to catch him. We can't catch him. We challenge him. We can't seem to catch him even in what he's saying. What can we do? And understand, when they're saying, what can we do? It starts out just amongst the Pharisees and the scribes, but instantly it goes beyond that, because we're told again over in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 3 and verse 6, that then they also went and consulted with the Herodians. And the Herodians, here's what's interesting, the Herodians hated the Pharisees and the scribes, and the Pharisees and the scribes hated the Herodians. But you know who they hated more? Jesus. See, the Herodians were the secular, they were the political, and they wanted all this religious stuff from the Pharisees and the scribes, that they would like all that to go away. They have no interest in that. But they saw Jesus as a threat to them, just as the Pharisees and the scribes. So here these enemies, they're so hateful of Jesus, are now conspiring, and it says they're talking together on how can we destroy him. Same word. Remember Jesus says, on the Sabbath, is it okay to destroy? And what are they doing on the Sabbath? They're getting together and talking, how can we destroy this man? They want to kill him. And they're doing it here on the Sabbath. They're doing it on the Sabbath. Beloved, how can we be guilty of this today? Well, do you ever find sometimes in your heart, when the truth is presented to you, you become angry? You just become angry about it? So much so, you want to shut it out. You don't want to listen to it. You don't want to hear it. You want to see it. You'll do whatever to eliminate that or that person out of your life. Oh, beloved, when we do that, and we can do it as believers, we're acting like the Pharisees. We're acting like the scribes. God's word will expose our hearts as well. And as I've even shared with some folks in different occasions, it's one of the things God's had to work in my heart about at times, that sometimes the initial response I may have to the truth is not always, "Oh Lord, you're right." But it's really sometimes I want to push back out of anger. But thankfully, the Spirit of God will work in my heart and soften it to bow to what it's saying. And that's what I pray is always true for you. But now let's just think about, again, what do we see here? We see the heart of God. We see Jesus again clearly displaying, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm in charge of the Sabbath. I am God." He's even displaying here with this miracle again. My point is, when they saw all this, you know what their response should have been? Their response should have been, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." Their response should have been just like Peter's. Whenever Jesus did the miracle of the catching of all those fish, they should have fallen on their face and said, "Depart from us, Lord God. We are wicked men. We came here with wicked intentions, and we now see who you are, and please forgive us." That should have been their response. But what was their response? Anger. Rage. Conspiring. Destruction. Beloved, we need to look at these men and make sure about our reasoning through the Scriptures. Make sure about our reasons why we even gather for worship. Make sure how we react to the Word of God. To make sure there's no parts of the Word of God that when we hear, we just don't say, "I don't want to hear that. I don't want to deal with that." We need to always be willing to think through what the Word of God is saying and submit to it no matter what. But also, I would hope for anyone here today, this again shows you once again that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is the one true Savior. He is the only one that whereby you can have salvation and the forgiveness of your sins. Submit to Him. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior. I want to ask you to bow your heads and pray.